As we speak about human consciousness, in a way, it is like we are making this big circle and coming back home to a human identity. And that is actually quite interesting and it's fascinating and puzzling and unexpected. It's like there's hesitation what to do with that new information. But we are explorers of truth because even though I am teaching, you are exploring the truth of the spiritual realm with me, because you need to agree in your own intelligence that it indeed, whatever I am saying, reflects that which is real and valid. You are not just believing, you are not just following, you are participating in the unfoldment of this teaching. Some of you may be confused, still unclear, hesitant. But this is all just very interesting. And you should be able to appreciate the conceptual clarity that is given. Conceptual clarity changes everything. Even if you experience something, but your experience is not conceptually comprehended, contained, that experience is on a lower level. Then, when you actually understand what it is that you experience. So, it's not only it's changing both that understanding your relationship with the experience, and it is changing the experience itself. Now, I have been always saying that true concepts are not just descriptions of things, labeling different things. They carry the energy of the experience. And they are capable of activating the experience. And they are capable of deepening that experience. Because concepts on a deeper level, not these abstract mental concepts, but real concepts, they have energetic dimension. And the consciousness of what they are about to transmit Of course, for us here, me and you, we need to have this empathetic connection so that you can feel what I'm talking about within yourself. So these concepts can be received and translated into an actual experience. Conceptual understanding is a very important dimension of intelligence. Without concepts, intelligence is blind or it simply cannot speak. It's speechless. It cannot express itself, not only to others, but to itself, because first, intelligence is speaking with itself. In order to formulate an understanding. And we speak here about a very deep understanding, very deep concepts. A profound level of spiritual empathy on the level of intelligence, which allows that knowledge to be transmitted from one soul or via one soul to other souls. If you think that I have already prepared all these talks and before the retreat and now I am communicating them, you would be very wrong. I have no idea what I am going to talk about next. And I am myself surprised by what I am talking about. I am myself exploring the things. That's why sometimes I correct myself because I am seeing deeper the truth of the subject. So I make some corrections. And trust me, there are so many things in regards to human consciousness that still need to be discovered and clarified. And I don't know what they are. But I know that all of that will come. So as much as I am teaching you, I'm discovering these things for myself, for my own joy. To understand reality, my own as well, deeper. What else life is worth living for? That is, there's no higher joy than the discovering, that ever deepening understanding of truth, having more and more of that higher resolution picture of the spiritual reality and our own soul, our own existence, and all these components that constitute that who we are. And allowing us to grow, to become larger, bigger, wider, deeper. So that understanding is, of course, profoundly practical, but it is also presents a value in itself. It is pure joy. Because understanding is not just clarification of things. I mean, like a true understanding. Understanding is love. And if you are part of that unfoldment in this teaching, you need to have love for truth. For the sake of truth. Sometimes there's too much information and you may feel intimidated. Relax. It's okay not to understand everything. Let it somehow grow within yourself. And then gradually things become clear. And then you will ask yourself, how could I not understand it before? It is so obvious. There are still many things to say about human consciousness. Initially, I thought, oh well, I don't see a way to find new subjects in this respect. It's like, okay, there's a human consciousness, psychosphere, and we have defined the spatial location of human consciousness and so on. There's actually nothing more to talk about. But actually, as the retreat goes on and on, more things come up. Well, they come up from intelligence. because of this intelligence speaking. And that intelligence does not know everything. It is discovering. It is in a constant process of discovering. I just cannot stop. So let's continue. I spoke about the etheric external intelligence as being the integral part of human consciousness. So we have human consciousness as its pure subjectivity. We have the psychosphere, and we have the external intelligence, which is actually the one that is experiencing the psychosphere. Allowing us to feel the experience of a human condition. That external intelligence can be in a more active mode, while it is reflecting upon our experience, or it can be in a more of a passive mode, where it is just resting, and this is what we call the etheric external intelligence, because it is pre-mental. It's not thinking, but still it is feeling. Or generating the feeling of how we feel as humans. So here, I need to retract my previous description that where I said that when the there's no active relationship with personality or the mind or some kind of a focus external attention in respect to the outer world, the external person moves back to the internal person. And with eyes open, he can still be conscious of the outer reality, but as if looking through the human consciousness into the world. Human consciousness being here like a window. the external person in a natural situation where we are conscious of the world, like with eyes open, not in a deep meditation, in terms of like going deep into absorption, but just being in our ordinary human state, the external person always stays in the human consciousness. In that sense, human consciousness is the home for the external person. But the external person can be experienced on different levels. And the deepest experience of the external person is when we realize the inner knower and the internal person entered the essential channel, which is this is where the external person merges with the subconscious me, becomes the etheric person. So that is the deepest experience of the external person. And then it is the etheric person that lives inside the human consciousness, and his intelligence is the etheric external intelligence. Before the etheric person is realized, let's say that the external person is still inside the human consciousness, but the experience of the external person is more coarse, less subtle, basically less etheric. When etheric person is inside the human consciousness, you don't really feel that the external person is inside the human consciousness, because his presence is so subtle and he's not, at least in this passive mode, he's not really doing anything. He's just living there. And so is his intelligence. The main thing to understand is that without the presence of the intelligence, the external intelligence of the person, the psychosphere could not be experienced. If the external person is unconscious, like in the case of most people, the psychosphere is still experienced, but in an unconscious way. And human consciousness actually does not exist, meaning that the external person does not have a home to be. So he is just relating randomly from the internal person to the psychosphere as if horizontally, reaching out, like in a similar way, he is reaching out into the mind, the subconscious, in order to think. Or he is reacting to personality. In a similar way, he is responding to whatever is happening in the psychosphere. So it's a, some kind of a horizontal relationship. He is moving forward towards the psychosphere, and then we can, an average person can identify what it is that they feel. But when human consciousness is present, that relationship is not a horizontal. He is already inside human consciousness. In a way, he is inside the psychosphere, or he is sitting on top of it, and his intelligence, even before him reflecting on what it is that we feel, is sort of spontaneously registering our human condition. Now, there's one more point that I would like to clarify. I spoke about stabilization of human consciousness, and it is a valid concept. However, I would rather call it relative stabilization. Because there are situations not only in deep meditation, but also in ordinary situations where we become fully absorbed in more of a universal dimension of the soul. And in those situations, the human consciousness is deactivated. In a way, forgotten. So there's this natural movement, oscillation between us sort of disappearing in our more universal aspect of the soul, transpersonal aspect of the soul, and us returning to our human consciousness. However, still in our ordinary life, everyday life, especially if we are somehow in active relationship with the world, human consciousness is naturally present. So anyway, this is why I speak about the relative stabilization. That stabilization implies that when the human consciousness is active, so we are naturally embodying our human consciousness. If that relative stabilization has not taken place, there's always a possibility that when the human is active, our human subconsciousness is activated, not consciousness. So the idea is, as long as our human dimension is activated, so is the human consciousness. Immediately, because human consciousness represents our correct experience of being human. Just to give you a simple example, you are in deep meditation, absorbed, in the inner knower, fundamental me, the human consciousness is put at halt, on hold, forgotten. Then you come back. Perhaps you come out of meditation, or even in meditation, obviously, you can reactivate your human consciousness, which is something that is commonly happening, because you have to be really deeply absorbed to fully deactivate human consciousness. So the point here is, the moment it is reactivated, it is being experienced in a complete way. As the pure subjectivity that is filled with the psychosphere and infused with the intelligence, etheric external intelligence. So that is the meaning of relative stabilization. It's not always there, but when it is in the right way and in a complete way. As you come to your human experience, back to your human experience, so you come back to your complete human consciousness without a hint of hesitation.